Expressions from St. Paul is listener supported. We ask that you pray on sowing a seed into this ministry and help us take the good news of the gospel all over the world.
Have you ever experienced that gut-wrenching moment when your dreams became a nightmare?
Have you ever had your plans derailed, your hopes shattered, and your dreams turned into a nightmare? In this week's lesson, which came from our powerful Resurrection Day service, Dr. Williams shares insight on when these things happen, who we can turn to.
God always worked behind the scenes. And every now and then when your nightmare turns, you turn to Him.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as the shepherd of our flock, serving our congregation faithfully in his 47th year, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. Our new membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and morning worship begins at 10. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible, let's open them together to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 down through 25. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
I would like to share from the background as we bring to you the message. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. When your dreams become nightmares, if you know anything about life, you've gone through some nightmares. It was on February the 15th. There was a gentleman boarded an airline to go to Ecuador. The plane crashed casually into the 14,000 feet height, touring, my friends, peak of that mountain, not far from where he was headed. Listen carefully. It was sent spiraling downward like a flaming ball of metal into the below area. Far below on the flight was a young New York named Glenn Chambers. He planned to begin a ministry with the voice, my friends, that had been given to him. This was his lifelong dream. It all came to a screaming halt as that plane crashed into the mountains. If you ever been on a plane and they tell you they don't know what's next, fasten your seatbelts and be quiet, then you'll understand how he felt. This lifelong dream was suddenly, friends, over into a nightmare. When I was coming out of we was on our way back. And it came over the loudspeaker, "We are having some engine trouble. We will not be able to land. We have to circle around that we can dismantle or disarm the plane's gas." People's had been clowning on the plane, drinking and cussing and carrying on. All of a sudden, things got quiet. I could hear them drinkers talking about, "Oh, Lord, help me." I was sitting next to my late wife, and I just caught her by the hand And she knew the rest, because we was used to that. And we just prayed and sat calm. And somebody said, well, why are you so calm? We know, you see, we're about to crash. I said, but I prayed before I got on this plane. So if it crashes and I get killed, the earthly body is going to die. But I'm going home for eternity and live with God. Don't wait till trouble comes to panic. You ought to have some plans now. If you go home and your house is burning down, what's the next plan? Or you go in the parking lot and your car won't start. What's the next plan? I went out, my car didn't start. I didn't do anything. One of the members was coming by. I said, I need to ride home. I wasn't going to spend all of the evening time trying to get the car started when I don't know anything about a car except drive it. And now they took my license so I can't drive. Not because I did anything, because of eye surgery. We have to learn, church friends, this gentleman, he on his way to the Miami airport, early to this, his mother, on a piece of paper he found on the floor of the terminal. That scrap of paper was one, friends, a printed piece of advertisement with the single word, why, sprawled across the center. But between the mailing and the delivery of that note, Chambers was killed. When the letter did arrive, there started up, my friend, at his mama was the howling question. Why are all the questions? It is the most searching, the most tormenting question ever been asked by his mother. No single truth removed the need to ask why. Like this truth, God is sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants to do it. Amen. Now, I know we've got people today, so they're making everything, but they won't make God. He can't be made. He's already made. And in fact, the reason he can't be made is because he made us. I know we don't act like it sometimes, but he still made us. And if anything you make, you have something to say about it. Amen. And so you should be today looking around and thanking God. I did it this morning over and over. Lord, I just thank you for what you have done. But I also thank you for what you didn't do. Because if he'd have did some things, he'd have carried me out of here. If I was going on my what I deserved, I wouldn't be here this morning. I don't deserve anything except what God has done for me. And since he's done so much, every now and then I have to stop and say, thank you, Lord. Don't ask for nothing, just thank him. When I got to thank him this morning, I went to the table, did something that you laugh at. Got my Mississippi oatmeal and my whole wheat toast and a bottle of water. And as I ate that, I thanked him. Now, you say, but that isn't nothing. Well, go to the hospital if you think that's nothing. A whole lot of people can't raise up and can't feed themselves. Everything by God deserved to be thanked. If you don't thank God, there's something wrong with your mind. Amen. So as we move on today, have you ever experienced that gut-wrenching moment when your dreams became a nightmare? Some of you in here today, you know that many times in your life, some of your dreams turn out to be a nightmare. Amen. When I arrived in Israel, I had lost my pass. I dropped it, whatever happened to it. So I got ready to get off. There was two guys with a rifle. Both of them was pointed at me because I didn't have no ID for according to their perspective of life. So I said, well, I'm with the crowd. What I already said, but I was saying, if you're going to shoot me, you're going to shoot them too. But I didn't say that. So I looked back and said, well, I said, here's our tour guide. Dr. Hills was behind me. He said, what's the problem, William? I said, well, we have to have a pass to get into Israel. And I don't have my pass. I dropped it. And he said, just like I said to you. He said, don't worry about it. There's a man that represents a country, our country, wherever we go. What they call him? Dr. Hill said, I know the ambassador. And so they talk. I didn't try to listen. I was just thinking about watching those raffles. So when he got through, he said, he gave me a number. I remember like it was yesterday, 27. He said, don't lose this number. Now what happened was, I didn't have no say, but Dr. Hill knew the ambassador. A lot of things could have turned to a nightmare for me because I didn't know what to do, but God always worked behind the scene. And every now and then when your nightmare turns, you turn to him. You say, but I don't see him. You don't have to see everything. You don't see your brain, but you see that you are, supposedly you have some. And since God can do things you can't see what he's doing, we just take some time and thank him. Amen. When I got married, my father said, now I hope you've been saving your money. You're grown now. He said, I can't help you. I can't, but if you live close, you can eat at the house, but I can't give you no money. I said, I did what you taught me. Every week, I stayed free in Chicago, and my auntie said, save 60% of your check. And she checked it every month. Well, I had never had a job before, and 40% out of 60, shoot, I shouted. What I'm saying to you is, if I had not been trained, or if I was trained and didn't listen, I'd have had a nightmare. You don't have to say, ma'am, I know I'm right. I participate in too many people's nightmares. But friends, when you've got God in you, see, one of the mistakes that is made with a lot of Christians, they are not aware, they don't want to deal with it. God is not somewhere out there. Or he's not somewhere up there. He's not somewhere down there. If you are saved, have been accepted God, and he accepted you, God lives in you. And he lives in you through the Holy Spirit. And every now and then the Holy Spirit tells you, so let me ask you another question. This is for men and women. Have you almost went somewhere? Don't raise your hand. Have you almost started to go somewhere and you know it was wrong and it was working on your mind? You just said, well, I'm going anyway. This is my last time. And when you get there where you're going, there's nobody there but you. God working behind the scenes. Then you didn't turn, your dream didn't turn into a what? And it will happen because the enemy is busy. Let's move on. Have you ever... My friends, have you ever experienced that kind of feeling in your life? Listen carefully. Has your life ever been turned upside down? Have life all of a sudden turned tipsy-topsy, whatever that means? All right. So quickly that it seems as if you really didn't get a chance, my friend, to catch your breath. I was really in enthused this morning as I observed these young boys. They didn't say much, but it was observed. And you don't have to talk all the time. You can just listen. In fact, I think listening is 65% of our life. Maybe more. If we'd have listened to a lot of stuff, some of you who are above 50, you wouldn't have the headaches you have today. If you'd have listened when you was 21, you wouldn't have married the person you married today. But you can't do anything about it. Listening is important. It would get you out of things that you never dream you could get out of. Listen, I don't mean just turn and look at it. Listen. And then you could avoid nightmares. Here we have some challenge here, friends. Notice carefully. What happens in his life is worth nothing like this morning. For it may help us when we get that point of the place where Jesus was born. I said when because we are all assured that as long as we live on planet Earth, we will have some trouble, trials, and tribulation. You say, but I'm nice to everybody, and then you're going to have more. I don't do anything wrong to people, but you're going to have more trouble. You see, trouble lacks peaceness. If you're peaceful and kind and loving, trouble lacks you. Because trouble wants to see if it's real. He'll shake you. Every now and then, he'll move on you. And I hear you say, but that never happened to me. Then you're not living. If you're living and doing what you're supposed to do, trouble is going to come to you. No ifs and ands about it, it will come. And you say, but I don't go nowhere. Well, you can have more trouble staying at home than you did if you went somewhere. The man said, Purser, last week, he said, well, Pastor, I finally found me a wife, and now I don't have to worry about a lot of headaches. And I was kind to him. I just bowed my head. I said, let us continue with the counseling. Because if I'd have answered him, I'd have said, now repeat what you said. You said, now I finally found me a wife, and I won't have no more headache. Now I'm going to talk this to the lights. Sometimes that's when your headaches start. I've been counseling 62 years. There is no such thing as another person can give you peace. Only God can give you peace. And if you find a person that can give you peace, mentally you're not functioning well. Listen what he said. My peace I leave where? With you. Not as the world can give it to you. You take my peace and you use it, and you will have peace. That's what Jesus said. He has not changed. He is now in us. People don't like to talk about that Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and he will direct us if we listen. My friends, if you live long enough, you will have some problems, predicaments, and some pitfalls, friends. And so what can we learn from Joseph? Let's see. Friends, a shattering discovery for David, for Joseph. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been, my friends, selected to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. That was not heard of. All of a sudden, a woman comes up, and she's a virgin, and she's pregnant. How did she get pregnant? This is real life. Listen to what happened. Highlight the word, my friend, that she was for him. It simply means that Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married, and I am sure, real sure, because of my age, I'm real sure. I said, I am sure. It was a time for Joseph and Mary as an excitement. Any man is getting ready to get married and he's not excited, he needs some treatments. And the brother said, it was a time of excitement. And think about it. Mary and Joseph were engaged to one another. And we know that in the ancient Hebrew custom, that's three stages of marriage. The stages are, there's a contract, which deals with the consummation and celebration. The contract period was usually when the father would arrange marriage between the children. A man would ask the father for his blessing to marry his daughter. If agreed, there would be, a contract. Listen careful, church. And it would be signed. And the groom, my friends, had up to 7 years to fulfill the obligation as stated in the contract. At that point, the bride and groom were legally married. Listen carefully. We're getting there, friends. And as they became legally married, when you look at the system, this was, my friends, a period of engagement. It was a binding as marriage. Most of the time, the bride and groom were, excited about their future together as husband and wife. But this time of excitement turned into a time of embarrassment. For the Bible says, before they came together, she was found to be with child. Listen, I'm sure that they were both counting down the days until they could be together and live together as husband and wife. It wasn't like America. Listen, but what was supposed to be a time of excitement and almost suddenly turned into an embarrassment. Why? Because during this period, both the bride and the groom were to keep themselves physically pure for the other spouses. Unlike our day, this was a time when both men and women were expected to go into the marriage as pure virgin. I'm talking about Israel's history. But it was during this time that Joseph discovered that his bride was pregnant. He had a bond in the oven. She was pregnant, and he's engaged, and he never touched her. That's not a nightmare, tell me one. And this would have been a source of great embarrassment both to Mary and Joseph, as well as to their respective families. And I'm sure that all the dreams Joseph had for the future had been shattered by the devastating news. Isn't this just how life is in many times? You were expecting great dreams, and all of a sudden they turn into a nightmare. I came to this state and went to take a test for the state. It was given tests for jobs, and I was here 3 days, and I went to take the test, and at that time they were taking it into school, and I passed the test, and I said, "Ooh, thankful I got the job." And a man came out and said, you passed the test, but you can't get the job. I said, "Well, what's the problem, sir?" He said, "You're not a citizen or resident," he changed, "in California." I said, "Well, I'm a citizen of the United States, but you're not a resident of California. So you got 1 year and come back." Listen careful. I had 1 year to come back to the job for the state. I went the next day, because I knew somebody here, and applied for a job, and I had a choice of 3 shifts. You're missing it. The state said I had to be a resident for a year, and the next 2 or 3 days I had 3 positions at 1 job. Now, you said, "Boy, you were lucky." Then why wasn't I lucky and didn't get the state job? God had promised me in a vision that if I come to California, I would have a job. I told you this 100 times. And a car, job, a car, and a house. So I don't fret when I get a vision. I just thank him. I went to the job and worked and had choices in the shift. 5 days I was there, and I became what they used to call a steward. Then I didn't catch nothing but hell from the people who had been there before I got there. But I was in charge at night, so they had 2 choices, work or go home. And I was young. I wasn't like I am now. I was young, and I wasn't afraid of any of them. Because I had my help with me anyway. I'm talking about God now. Don't go somewhere else. When God has something for you, I don't care how the devil works against you, he or she cannot change God. Why? How can you change a God when he supersedes everything? Amen. Amen. Friends, and I'm sure that all of the dreams Joseph had for the future had been shattered, I told you, by this devastating news. Now, we make all our plans for the future and set things up just the way we want them to be. Then some unexpected, unforeseen comes over our dreams. Friends, unhappiness and even unwanted events take us to the place we don't want to go. A place where we see our hopes, our plans, and our dreams come crashing down around us. When these things happen, my friend, it breaks us because it is unexpected and uncertain and unwanted. None of that stuff we expect. Joseph didn't expect to get engaged with somebody that was already pregnant. He didn't expect that. And none of you would expect it. And the microphone said amen. You sit there and you talk about it. You don't expect that. Well, let me bring it home. If I was engaged and then the wife, the girl said to me, said, I'm 3 months pregnant. And I haven't even kissed her. Hold your seat now. I said, keep thinking holy. And then I'm supposed to say, well, I forgive you. That's okay. Let's get married. My culture doesn't teach me that. Never would it teach me that. And it didn't teach you that. That's why Jesus sent his son on planet Earth, that he might die for us, all sinners, who were born in this country, they were sinners when they were born. All human beings had to have a Savior, and he could not come among mankind. There's no man or woman on earth could save us. But here is a man, came from a virgin, had not been touched by a man, and yet he came to save sinners. Now, let's take a minute. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus was born, and then Joseph knew God before he got with Mary. See, that's why the Bible talks about we shouldn't marry. If you're saved, you marry somebody unsaved, that's your consequence problem. They got to think on the same level, even if they don't agree on the same level. Now, here comes Joseph, marrying a virgin who has a child, when he found out in a dream that God says, Joseph, don't be nervous. You can marry her. She hadn't been touched by no man. She has been touched by an angel. That's how she got pregnant. You say, but I don't understand that. Don't try to understand God. Just follow him. He'll lead you in the right direction. How can you understand God when you don't understand yourself? Amen. Some of you ladies got up this morning, you looked three times in your closet because you didn't know exactly what you wanted to wear. If you understood your chef, you just pulled out something. And the women said. So what happened is, now Joseph have accepted Mary quietly. Otherwise, if he had to put her away, the father would have carried her back to the, my friend said, to the Jews, the seniors, and if she had been guilty and lied to him, they'd have stoned her. But you see, God does not make mistakes. He knows the beginning and the ending. And so when Joseph decided, well, now I hear God saying, she's your wife, accept her. Joseph took her in, and friends, married her, and then presented her. Then in a few years, Joseph knew that that boy wasn't his. He knew that because he was too wise and too smart. Then Jesus says, only had 3 years on earth, a little more, to do the work of the ministry that he came on earth to do. Now, many of you say, but I would accept Christ, but I just don't understand. The last time I talked to you, any of you, you didn't have the answer to all of your problems. But you still live. Here comes Jesus now, going to and fro, healing, bringing the blind to see, raising the dead, speaking to the water, and the water became quiet on a ship, and it was almost going down. And Jesus said, peace. The ship got calm. Then, at the end, and you quit saying that the Jews or rather the Romans killed Jesus. No, they didn't kill Jesus. Jesus died. He gave his life for mankind. That's what he came for. If they was going to kill Jesus, and Jesus is God, he'd have wiped the whole earth clean. And so now here's Jesus. Come here, sir. Bring somebody with you. Get somebody with you. Listen carefully. Well, you get on the other side. Here Jesus now on Calvary. He is in the middle. And he got two sinners on each side. One on each side. And they said they're going to get rid of him because he was disturbing the peace, interrupting the synagogue, healing people that they should not be healed. And here is a thief. This is really significant in our ministry. Here's a thief over here. Crooked. Had been involved with all kinds of crime. Here's another one had been in every kind of crime you could name. And here's this one over here said, if you are God, save yourself and save others. And here's the humble man said, well, now, Lord, when you get in your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus in the middle, he's dying. He stopped. And he said, today, you'll be with me in paradise.
Amen.
And he said to the other one who was boastful, go your way, but you will be with me in paradise. Ever since that hour, he's been with us. He didn't want to die. That's one thing. But if he'd just died, where would we be today? He died on Friday. And his followers went back fishing because that's all they knew. They walked with him 3 years and still didn't know him. But my friends, all day Friday, all night Friday night, all day Saturday, all night Saturday, they said, we're through with him. He's gone on. And then some way God, I don't know how that's done, some way God, my friend, God, the God I'm talking about, that stone was there. And he took that stone and he has the stone. He took the stone and rolled it away. And Jesus gets up. And he gets up and he took his grave clothes off. And he folded them and laid them on the side. Now one of the great things he did, he said to, he didn't go to the men because men are a little slow. You read it. He went to the women and said to them, go and tell who? Tell my disciples that I'm alive. And then, listen, church. Peter had denied him and mistreated him at the last. He said, and tell Peter. That's why you got to learn how to forgive. Forgiving makes you have the right way to God on a daily basis. You say, Pastor, you don't know what they've done to me. What did you do to Jesus? But learn how to forgive. Amen. If you know the things that people have done to me, and I speak to them, kind to them, not for them, but for me. I got to have my prayers answered. And I cannot be having an evil, mean, low-down, dirty spirit and want a holy God to answer my prayers. It's not going to happen. And then at last, if I would not be saved, I would get saved today because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Number one. Number two, if I was my age, I would not be crooked, dirty, gossiper. I couldn't do that because I might die in my gossiping period. I got to serve. I have to serve this God. God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He what? All right, choir. Look what happened. He lived and died. And what is there? My what? And because he lived I can face tomorrow because He holds it in His hand. Because friends, He lives. He's completed His mission. And now He's saying to you, get on board. Get on board. If you're here today, I learned this as a teenager. You can't watch people. Because when it's time to paste mud, they won't be there. You have to learn your life is in your hand. So therefore, you have to get it to God. All you have to do, bow your head. Say, Lord, I accept what you've done for me. You died on Calvary. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. And then thank Him. He'll save you right where you are. If you're here today, it has nothing to do with your age. It has to do with you. Will you just come down the aisle and say, I will accept Him? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come today? Man, woman, boy, or girl, would you say yes to Him? Will you say yes to Him? Come today.
He holds the future.
Will you come today?
And life is worth the living just.
Because. Will you come?
He lives.
Will you come?
How sweet to hold.
Will you come?
A newborn baby.
Will you come?
And feel the pride.
Will you come?
And joy He gives.
Yes, will you come today?
But greater still.
Will you say yes to Him? He's speaking to your heart.
The calm assurance.
Will you come?
This child can face uncertain days.
Because
He lives.
Will you say yes?
Because He lives.
Will you come today? He's speaking to you.
Tomorrow.
Because
He lives.
Oh, yeah.
All fear is gone.
Will you come?
Because
will you come today?
I know. Oh, He holds
will you come?
The future.
And
life is worth the living.
Will you come?
Just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the
still have time
no
to come.
No war with pain. And then as death gives way to